niggas do not care about us. It is real as hell. You gotta fail to learn, and Lottie might be leaving. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You want to know what's more important than throwing away money at a strip club? Credit.
We're going to be dealing with some interesting statements from black folks and Jewish folks today. Who knew? It's the Atlanta finale, Crabs in a Barrel. I got a mostly full panel here with my lovelies, my fam. Thanks for joining us, as always. You guys want to introduce yourselves? It's the last show. Yo, I don't know. Like, y'all should know who we are.
Yo! He's back!
Yes.
On a panel with a bunch of tasty snacks and said, hey! It's your man, Chaos J. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Snacks on deck today. All right.
Hard this afternoon. Yeah.
That's a compliment.
It is. No one is...
Y'all like, did he really say that?
About it.
That was a great intro.
I was just trying to make, I was like, well, I can't follow that up.
You don't have to.
You got the new hair. The hair you follows just, it up.
Y'all yes. Snacks. You don't have to.
Hi. It's true. What's up?
Oh, my God.
It's Steph. Oh, my God. You really
sexy
screwed
voice.
Us up. It's Steph.
With the sexy voice.
And I'm Joelle Monique.
With
and it's
the
good
sexy
to be
voice.
Back here. Let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into it. The way today's show is divided is the different faces of Earn. We're going to talk about Earn as a dad, Earn as a partner, Earn as a friend, and then Earn as a manager. Let's jump into him as a dad. Holy cow, that Lyft ride was wackadoodle. I cannot be dealing with people not listening to the GPS, especially out here in LA. Look, Google, Waze is nuts. I understand. Sometimes Waze is like, make a left on the highway. You can't do that. And I understand that we have to follow, we have to make up new directions when we're using Waze sometimes. But if you are on the good God's Google Maps, you need to be following the directions because they're going to get you where you need to be the fastest. Problematic. Tell me about your Lyft experiences. Tell me about what you thought, specifically with her blasting the Christian music. I was like, lady, this is a lot.
I think I even said when we were watching it, I was like, this is so Atlanta, it hurts. I went to college in Atlanta. Atlanta's in the Bible Belt. People put Jesus hardcore down there. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you don't, like, even if you're not a Christian or whatever, like, you gotta be chill with Jesus because it's just so shoved down your throat and it's so normalized there, which is cool, like, if that's your thing, but it's just so normalized and, like, anything else is just like, whoa, what are you doing? So I just thought it was really funny that she's like, well, such an auntie.
Let's take a look at that first opening. The first thing we hear in this episode is temptation and sin were about my closest friend. Which we see a lot of throughout this episode. A lot of people being tempted to do some things they shouldn't. A lot of people making some sinful choices. One sin in the industry is showing up late. And showing up late with your kid is not so great. Earn gets to this important meeting with a potential lawyer with his kid. But I really liked a lot of the surrealism we got in here. I guess I want to ask you guys, did you trust this lawyer right off, especially with the giant billboard of himself looking over their shoulder?
I don't trust any lawyer, but I feel like he seemed like, I mean, he was straightforward. He said 5% cut, and that is normal, I'm pretty sure, with lawyers. So
5% is low.
I thought that's he was going to say 10. I was expecting 10.
10 to 15 10 is maxed out. Yeah. 10% is about your average. 5% is not asking
but maybe
a lot.
Because it's Atlanta versus being in LA, so maybe that's
the no difference. Percentages are straight across the board. The amount of money might be different, but the percentage is usually the same. And I think that's the statement on like the fact that they when they were talking about his clientele, he was like, "Oh, these are just like nobodies. These are reality stars." He's trying to make a buck out here too. Like he's a lawyer, just trying to get his paper up, just trying to get good clients in the door.
Well, also I just think it's interesting that like. You know, they keep talking about the Jewish manager or whatever, or the Jewish lawyer. And, like, there was, I don't know, there's just, like, this, the level of how much the Jewish lawyer needs to know doesn't matter as comparison to, like, the connections he needs to have. Because the black lawyer actually was speaking a lot of facts and was actually a good lawyer. But
I mean, his pedigree was legit. For me, personally, I mean, I would have... Initially, I would have been all excited, like, yeah. And I would have been like, rah, 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 let's go with this guy. But, it was good that Al could sit and kind of weed through all that. And I like how they do that cut to Lottie, where it's like, nah, 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 nah. Because that's exactly how I felt. Like, everything that he was saying, while it was important, that's how it registered. It was like, yeah, whatever, whatever, whatever. Let's get to the brass tacks.
My queen goddess Ava DuVernay says that a code of desperation will wear you down. Reciting your resume to a potential client is not... feels desperate, as opposed to saying, here's what I could do for you. Here are the options I could give for you. Here's what I did for other people. Here's how I plan to promote you and make you excel. You shouldn't need to repeat your pedigree back. You should be telling them about the future. Yeah. And so I felt like a lot of that energy was happening across the scene.
I agree.
Well, right. And you're right. And I was going to say the fact that Al was able to look through, see past all that and say, okay, but let's look at what he's got client-wise, and this is not what I want. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to be in the upper echelons of lawyers is really going to help me do some stuff.
But I feel like it's also pressure, because you hear it in, like, Migos lyrics, Cardi B, like, they want Jewish lawyers. Like, they make it apparent.
You're just listening to our man Jay-Z also talking about, like, we need to get out of Jewish. Black people compare themselves to Jews a lot, persecuted across time and space.
I wrote that down.
Both come from, like, very interconnected communities which uplift each other. I think the difference is, which a lot of people tend to leave out, people are like, oh, like, Jews tend to buy their own at a higher percentage rate. Like, they tend to support one another more, is the perceived notion. But I think a lot of people leave out the fact that, like, as awful as sections of Jewish history are, like, they have not had 400 years of recent oppression, especially in this country. Mm-hmm. They have a very close proximity to whiteness that enables them to have more privilege than a lot of the Black community. And especially when it comes to business, I think. So that's my own little foible with Jay-Z, is just like,
we don't necessarily need
to compare ourselves.
In this show, he did bring up systematic racism, which I think is the big difference, and skin color that will never change for Jewish people. They'll always be white, so they don't have that lingering over them in American society every day. But I do love how he brought, like, the two contrasting groups and did stick stereotypically kind of to the two groups. Like, the Jewish people you saw were, like, heavily garbed in
traditional Jewish clothing.
So I thought that was cool.
It was interesting. I like that he said, I didn't even know this part of town existed. Yeah. Which I thought was great.
I was like, what part of Atlanta? Like, I really was like, what part of Atlanta? That's not Buckhead. Where is that?
You ain't never been to.
Like, I was like, I don't know where the hell that is. Like,
unless you know somebody from there, you're never going there.
Any race can be part of the religion of Judaism, but, you know, there is also a cultural Jewish society. So, two different things. We were talking cultural. You could be Jewish and be any skin color. Lottie is gifted.
And light skin now.
Lottie was always...
I feel like she got lighter. I feel like Lottie got lighter. And people in the chat are saying it too, so okay. I know it's not just me.
It's very possible. I came out white and got darker, so I don't know how it works with babies. They do change.
Definitely.
From 2 to 3. Yeah. It could also be terrible casting. I don't know.
True.
So potentially, bad calling casting part. But I really enjoyed this interaction with the teacher, especially if you know any teachers. Mm-hmm. This idea of, like, oh no, this is a terrible school.
Yeah.
It's essentially a slaughterhouse. You need to get all of your kids out of here if they're gifted. And the sad thing to me was, like, and that means y'all are going to have to go broke.
Yeah.
To make sure that she has a half decent chance at a future.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was really interesting because it is definitely really true to dominant Black communities not having great schools. My mom's a nurse, but my teachers when I was little were like, hey, your kid's really smart. She doesn't, basically what Lottie, like, they're telling Van and Erin, like, hey, you need to get her out of here. And so my mom worked part-time as a janitor so that I could go to my own version of that school. So I mean, it's a real thing. Like, the Black community schools, like, there's very little funding. The teachers there either do care and just don't have the resources to do anything about it, or don't care and are just coming in to get their check. So it's definitely a real, pretty hardcore thing.
Definitely. And it's frustrating, especially when you think about, like, all Ernie is going through in this particular moment. Like, he might lose his job. He don't have a house. He's not really making money. Like, how am I going to put Lottie through essentially college four times? Mm-hmm. If you think about her K through 12, that's about college two or three times, an actual college. And then, you know, she goes back for her master's. Like, there's a lot of potential to spend just a whole bunch of money. Let's transition into talking about Ern as a partner, especially with Van. Did you guys feel that there was something different going on with them?
Yes.
Like, their whole dynamic seems to have changed from the last time we saw them together.
First off, Van was looking rather scrumptious.
Van did have her look together.
But she, not that she hasn't. We've yet to see Van looking beat.
Not true. Not true. We saw Van in sweats.
In the morning. But I give you a pass on that.
But I mean, like, even like right after she lost her job as a teacher, you know, or even when she's going out with her friends were like done up to the nines. And she was like, she's a gorgeous girl. Like, it's nothing against her. But just, I feel like, to your point, she put a lot of effort into her looks more now. I feel like she's exited this kind of funk that we've seen her in.
Okay. So, and I kind of feel like, and I feel, I'll say this. I think women do it more so than men. When you are separated from your, you know, your partner, your spouse, whatever that is, and you know you're going to see them again for whatever reason, like, you make sure you're looking a little extra, extra good. Even if you don't have any intentions on rekindling anything, you just want them to know, like, yeah.
Look at you, like, I'm not even going to fight him on this.
Exactly. You can't fight that because it's
regret in your tears.
It's just, I don't know what it is, but I, for one, can say that every person that I've been with and then we're separated, when I see her again, I'm like, good Lord, you did not look that good when we were together. What's up? What's really good right now? And that's how I felt, but I agree that there was definitely a change in dynamic. I feel that maybe she can see a difference in Ern. Mm-hmm. I felt like there was this unspoken, like, there was just something there in the air between them that is like, I feel hopeful for them. I'm mad that, like, there was no parting goodbye, like, there was no hug or nothing, like, I'm getting a hug. You looking all good like that. Hair just was just okay, on point. We just got this great news about our kid. Like, just bring it in real quick.
Yeah, I didn't feel like she was into the hug or into, like I felt like she had really moved on. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I felt, too. I felt like the weird air we were feeling there was a sense of, like, I love you, but I just can't. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just not for me. This is not good for me. This is not good for our daughter. But we need to figure out something that's going to work for everybody involved. So I feel like it was one of those, like,
I got a whole different vibe.
I feel like it's one of those, like, I love you, but,
well, and
it's just, like, desperation, kind of.
And Ern looks, if we want to talk about when people are looking beat, he looked beat this episode. He's had a rough time. And she knows that. And I feel like she's leveling up and he was weighing her down for a lot. I mean, that's not his fault, but, like, I feel like she was, I agree with you, she was in a funk and she's out and she looks good and he's about to be out of his funk.
But see, while he is definitely, we can agree that he's in a funk, he's still making moves, like, he's still leveling up just because he's about to go on a tour. Mm-hmm. Like, that's major. He went from just trying to get out into the Spotify space and get him to be open to doing something different. And now they've gone from that to, we're about to go on the tour. And yeah, you're not the headliner, but again, you are literally about to go on a European tour. Mm-hmm. Like, that's major from just being local with a mixtape and a hot song.
I totally agree with you. Like, yes, he's definitely leveled up in a job capacity, but not in a mental capacity.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? And that's not to say that that's not about him being dumb or his intelligence or anything. That's entirely about his ability to support emotionally a partnership, which he cannot do. I mean, if you can do that, you're not starting fist fights in the back of a car because you're frustrated. Like, he's he's not a good partner for Van right now. And that doesn't mean that there isn't love there. It doesn't mean that there isn't even mutual respect there. I thought they did a really great job at their first attempt at co-parenting, exactly. Not as partners. Mm-hmm. But I don't think, like, you showing up with a bruised eye to our kids' meeting, like, you're late, you're clearly exhausted. Like, you can be doing great in your career, and your personal life can just blow. And, like, and that's okay, just reality.
And that's exactly, and I agree. It's, his personal life is still kind of in a funk, but I think everything else is really making moves. And for somebody that's always late, I no longer really fault people for being late.
I do.
Yeah, I'm more understanding because I understand that at the end of the day, shit happens. There's sometimes the days where I intentionally put forth effort to be early, I am extremely late. Were the days where I'm just kind of casually, you know, just leisurely doing my thing, getting ready, I'm on time. And early at times. So, I don't know. I just feel like even though he's late, you can see he's hustling. He still had things in order. He wasn't unorganized. He still orchestrated everything and had the moving guys there. He got the moving guys, you know, he kept them from, you know, delaying the process. He got Darius the passport. Like, he still had things moving. He still had the wheels going. So, he was late, but I still feel like he was hustling. You could see he was really working. And then I just want to say this, and I'm going to shut up. But, I lost my train of thought, so go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to build an analogy where Ern is, like, thrashing around treading water. Like, he's making it work, but he could be in a sailboat just coasting. You know what I mean? Like, the amount of stress in his life. And again, maybe it's not all his fault. It's not to blame or shame him, but just the way you're handling the cards that you have been dealt has not been the healthiest way. And so I understood when she sent the text message to be like, yo, I'm thinking about moving back in with my mom. Like, I don't got a job. I'm not teaching right now. Like, we got to do a whole lot for our kid. Like, my mother would be an extra support system that can help raise Lottie and be a good influence in her life. And I totally understood Ern's like frustration with that. Like, I want to see my kid and I want to provide. I don't want you to have to move in back with your parents. But at the same time, like, Van's got to do what she's got to do to survive at this point. Let's just jump right into Ern with Darius. And I'm going to let you ladies take it away because I know how much you love Darius. What did you think of the advice he was giving Ern?
Which part?
When they're at the passport place.
Oh.
And he's telling him, like, what's some of the advice he gives? Learning requires failure.
Yeah.
And you both can't afford to fail.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. It made me think of him being late to things. Black people especially, we have to be on top of everything at all times because the one thing we slip up on is the one thing that they'll notice.
Right.
So, like, being late. So it doesn't matter that he did all of that shit. If he was late, he was late. And that's all that's going to be focused on. With black people, I think it's interesting that they, like, want to go with the Jewish lawyers and stuff because, like, there is this sense of, like, they're more trustworthy. They're more likely to get things done. And, like, you don't, like, where non-black people have the area where they can fail and mess up and, like, are able to jump back, we don't have the opportunity because the opportunities are so rare for us. So when we get them, we have to, like, excel.
Exactly.
I really like this scene that I totally agree with, but for different reasons. I felt like Darius actually provided the best piece of advice I think we've seen all season. And this was the first time I've seen Ern really be, like, okay with his emotions. He said, no, I'm not doing well. And he was listening to Darius. He understands he's not in a good mental place. And he understands he's got to, like, man up, which is exactly what he did in the following part. So that's why I said I feel like he is on the come up. So he is doing good career-wise. Right. Now he's okay with saying, you know, I'm not okay personally.
Yeah. But I feel like Darius was, like, making it, like, Darius saying that, I kind of, not sided with Al, but I, like, because for a while I was getting annoyed with Al and I'm just like, yo, like, you're not putting in the effort really either. But I kind of, like, when Darius was like, you know, both y'all don't have room to fail. Like, it's not going to work that way. So I kind of almost was like, I don't agree with Al, but I see it more.
That shit rings so true. And, like, especially if you have friends who are, like, in a funk, it can be hard to be like, look, I have to take a step back from you. Not because I don't love you, not because I'm not going to be here for you, but because I have to get my shit together so I can come back and save you.
Yeah.
Like, we will both drown out here. This is not healthy. but it's hard, you know? And I think in the rewatch, instead of being frustrated with Al, I'm going to start seeing, like, that concentrated effort of, like, look, man, I'm trying to get myself up. I noticed it in the lawyer's office. Like, as manager, you need to be really grilling that guy. Like, he's going to be protecting all of his paperwork. Anything he signs, he's going to be reading. That's money. That's deals. That's how long you're going to be in a contract. I need to know that you're going to fight for me. And my manager needs to be the first one on the front lines dealing with that shit with my lawyer and making sure that my lawyer is up to snuff. And he just kind of laid back. He's like, cool. So how are we going to, like, what do you need to make that happen? It was way lax. So I get, and if you look back at the episode where they're kids, you could see Al constantly trying to pump them up to be like, just go in there and be like, you know, believe in yourself. Like, be strong, be proud, and just do what you need to do. And Earn all the time, just like, I don't know, even with the movers. I thought for a long time the movers were going to rob them blind. I was like, they are not going to get to Europe. The movers are going to steal everything. It's Robin season, and we're going to be effed. And your little $50 here, $10 here is not going to do shit. As we transition into talking about Earn as a manager, what did you guys think about, like, his, the way he managed along the way? Like, you said he was doing a lot this episode.
And not only was he doing a lot, but I feel like there were moments where we got glimpses of him processing new information. And, you know, like Darius said, you know, I see you, you know, you're working and you're learning. And I felt like even in this episode, as he was going through the day, despite all the bullshit that was falling, you know, left and right, I still felt like he was learning. Even when he was at the passport office and he had that whole interaction with, you know, with the guy that was processing, their paperwork, I felt like he was seeing, okay, cool. And he also, you know, said something to him about asking about his brother, or, you know, about whoever the other guy was. It was, you know, the lawyer, because he's thinking, I may not necessarily agree with some of the things that Al wants, but this is what Al wants, and I want my job. I want this. And I felt like, so he was inquiring because he's trying to, you know, figure out, like, okay, what's my next move going to be? Because he wanted to be the one to deal that new lawyer, you know, that Jewish lawyer card, even though Luke had already kind of slid in there a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like this episode solidified why Earn is the manager Al needs. Mm-hmm. Now, because just needs and wants are different. It may not be the manager Al necessarily wants, but he's what he needs. Because in the beginning of the episode, they're talking about the tour, and he's saying, like, yeah, you know, you're opening up for Clark County, but you should be opening. And even Earn, like, kind of, like, it resonates with him. He's like, yeah, you should be opening. And so when it happened, when he has the gun later and he puts it in the bag and they just walk off and keep it going, when he's sitting down after the conversation he has with Al, where Al's like, I'm gonna keep you, basically. We see Clark on the plane and they all look kind of confused, and he even leans over and he's like, I put it in Clark's bag, because if Clark can't go to Europe,
guess who's the new headliner? Who's
the fucking headliner? Exactly. Paperboy. So I think
that,
like,
was a boss ass move.
It was. That was dope.
And in that, I don't want to jump the gun because we're not there yet. Are we?
Yeah, we're in there.
Okay, so we're there. That conversation was everything, because when they're sitting on the couch, which, you know, let's talk about the fact that it's almost where they started.
Mm-hmm. It's 100% where they started. Hold on. Hold your thought 1 second. I just want to bring up two things we saw. One, the couch harks right back to the first season. Mm-hmm. And in that moment when Al hands, he's like, hits Darius and is like, make sure he gets the weed, essentially. That to me is kinship. That is friendship. Mm-hmm. It is how all of my oldest friendships are solidified, is through marijuana. Puff, I have no shame in saying that. And so being like, make sure you hop in this circle, bro. Like, we're doing this together. You're still part of this crew. Smoking. Was solid. And then the second thing, to your earlier point, Kelly, about him having grown in his job, we don't really get a sense of that within the show because it's so much of him beating down on himself. But then he passes his first job. The job we saw him have in season one is he's at the airport. He's trying to sell credit cards. I think that old lady is schooling him at it, and he's so frustrated and he hates his job. You literally blew off your old job, be like, I have to go to Europe and I don't have time for this bullshit. That to me is the strongest indicator of, like, look at how far you've come. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was amazing. And then we get to the gun moment, which was, and that conversation, which was so great.
Best scene of the season.
Yeah, no, that conversation when he's basically saying, like, nobody gives a fuck about anybody in this industry, you know, and we're all we got, mm-hmm. and you give a fuck. And that's why I need you. Because you care. Because when he... Because at first when he said, you know, I saw what you did back there with that gun, I was like, oh, shit. Like, what's this... Like, what path is this going to go down? Mm. And then he, you know, and he went on to talk about, you know, like, you give a fuck because he does. Like, at the end of the day, like, he... Earn is really trying to be the best Earn he could be for him, for Van, for Lottie, for Al. And I felt like at that moment, Al saw it. He, like, really was like, I see you, bro. And I'm a rock with you.
I want to just explore the flip side of that, which is, like, Earn did not seem okay with it. And do you guys think, like, there's a compromise and an exchange there. Like, standing up for your boy and making sure that y'all are good is vital and important to surviving, especially in this industry. 100% agree with everything Al said. On the flip side of that, the reason Earn hasn't got ahead a lot of times is because he's a good guy.
Right.
Right? All of his decision making, when we're like kind of being a pussy dude, like you need to like toughen up and do these things, it's really him trying to be a good person. Do you think, Drew, that this is going to like hurt him or change him in a way for the negative?
I hope it doesn't. But the thing about this industry especially is like morally you do have to be in check, but there's a lot of gray areas and you have to be okay with being in gray areas. And if you can't, if you're very a black and white person when it comes to your morals, then you're not going to make it out here. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Earn has to, I'm hoping that he's able to cope with it, but seeing how Earn handles situations, I think it might, I don't think we're seeing brighter days for him anytime soon. I think it is going to be an internal struggle for him.
That's so funny. I see the complete, I only see the opposite, because this is where I think This Is America video tied in.
Yes, bring it
with
down.
This theme, because I think it's bringing in entertainment, politics, race, where they've played the good guy this whole time and it hasn't worked. So This Is America. This is what we got to do.
And I think he'll do it, and I think it'll be great. But just like I think tying it into the This Is America thing, like the whole facade and like putting up this thing and like putting the, you know, like sheet up so you don't see what's going on behind me. Like, I think a lot of celebrities are very aware of what they're doing. Do I think that they're going to sleep at night 100% okay with it? No. Mm-hmm. Do I think Earn is going to be 100% okay with what he's doing? And do I think it's going to bother him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do.
I think it's going to bother him. Not to cut you off, Joelle.
No, you're good.
I think that it's going to bother him. However, I think that as he continues to be put in situations where he has to make those crucial decisions, once he sees how he sees the outcome of it and it's a positive outcome, it just puts him that much more in Al's favor. It just helps to further Al's career, helps to further him as his manager. I feel like he'll have a little bit of resolve with it. He's still going to feel some kind of way, but I don't feel like it's going to weigh him down too much, because it's like, okay, at the end of the day, I have to do what I have to do to make sure we're good. Mm-hmm. And if that means it's at the expense of some other people sometimes, it is what it is. That's how I perceive it, which is kind of to your point. Like, I don't feel like he's going to beat himself up too much about it.
I think he will, in the sense that, like, he's robbing himself of his family right now. And so I think him making these kind of, like, morally so-so choices, he's doing all this, and it's almost like, cool, it looks like, you know, they're going to Europe, that's awesome, whatever. But what is he really getting from it? Because his baby mama and his daughter are moving in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's...
No, that's an interesting point.
So it's like, what is, like... Cool, he's getting. They're going to be gaining this clout or whatever. But even like Don Glover said that, like, this isn't a show about the come up. Like, this isn't a show about their like them coming up and being necessarily successful. It's going to be a lot about the struggle. So I don't think it's safe to say that he's going to be okay with this, because I feel like he is going to be sacrificing a lot more than he's prepared to do, and I feel like he's only going to be sacrificing more.
Who do you guys think got robbed in this episode? You just mentioned Earn maybe robbed himself of his family or additional time with Lottie and going to Europe. Who do you guys think was robbed this episode?
Luke, the manager. Because it's not just going to be, oh, you had a gun, bad boy, and that's it. Like, he's got it. Granted,
Luke is a wealthy white man, so he could be fine.
He is, but he's still going to have to be inconvenienced. So if nothing else, he's going to be robbed of his time. Lottie, just because she's not going, you know, she's going to be robbed of her father. She's not going to have Earn around. I won't throw Van in the mix, even though I personally want to. I'll leave her out of it.
Earn, what would Van have been robbed of?
Earn.
She would have to want Earn to be robbed of him.
I know how y'all feel about that. So I was like, I'm not even going to go there. What I secretly want in my heart of hearts is not necessarily what may be reality. I also feel that Earn himself, because he's losing out on being with Lottie. Mm. And then Tracy, because Tracy don't have nowhere to stay. And they didn't even tell you.
Tracy did not get the message.
I appreciate that. And then to speak to what you said earlier about him getting frustrated and not handling his emotions and getting in that fight, I felt all of that. Being a smaller person, when I was younger, and my cousins bullying me all the time and picking on me, there were times where I got mad and I was like, yo, we fighting. And I knew I was going to get my ass whooped. But I still, because I was just, it's sometimes like, I'm going to give you a run for your money. Because you had that one coming. And Tracy in that episode had that one coming. Now, just to wrap this all up in a pretty package, I feel that even though I feel that her wanting to go to her mom's is because she's not trusting what's going to happen when he goes to Europe. But I feel like he's going to make enough money to where she won't have needed to go to her mom's, because he's going to be able to send that home.
But I can always move out of my mother's place. What I cannot do is foreclose on this place and then try to get another place in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially for Van, like, what she hasn't had a long time is security, for a lot of different reasons, from a lot of different ways, including faults of her own. But I understand her wanting to be like, I just need to be somewhere secure until, you know,
you get back and you can do what you need to do.
And I like that you bring up Tracy, because I really enjoyed that the show, like, the way you look at all of, like, in the last 5 minutes, you saw all the issues that we've ever seen Earn face, like, mm-hmm. from the guns, problems with the police, that old job that he didn't like, dude just beating up on him and being dumb and always around, and he can't, or didn't take time to notice that he had passed all of those things up, like, that he had moved forward to a new space. Like, Tracy was such a bother to him all season long, Tracy just in his shit, making things worse, making things challenging, but in the end, like, y'all didn't even tell that dude that he was leaving. Mattered so little and took up so much of Earn's time, and I really like that we got a visual representation of that without calling too much to it. I wanted to ask, and I'm gonna kick it to Steph, I don't know why, I'm just gonna throw it in there. So they have this conversation about boxers at the place where they're getting the passport, and they're like, are we going through the zipper or over the underpants? What is that conversation about?
I honestly have no idea. Does anyone have any?
They're talking about peeing. I thought if they, because boxers have the whole.
No, I know what it's literally about, but figuratively, I think that there's another layer in there. So, because they make this whole comparison to, like, at the end of that conversation, he says, yeah, but when I have suits, I do it differently. And I think this idea of how you come every day versus how you come when you're prepared, like, is different, but for whatever reason, they were doing it through peeing and talking about like that. I'll ask the only guy on the panel then.
Do you think there is
a second layer to this? And if so, what is it? And chat, also, you can feel free to post it in the comment section or in the live feed.
Initially, I went completely left, and I thought they, because that's where my mind was. I was like, oh, like, he talking about, you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, what do? You know, do you go through the boxers, or do you just pull it over the boxers and you about to get some? So I was like, oh, well, you know, it's probably more comfortable to just go through the boxers. But they went somewhere completely different with that. But I'm just telling you where my mind was. I was just thinking, like, because in the heat of the moment, that has happened before with people. So moving along.
I'm with you, Kelly.
Whatever. I'm saying whatever. Y'all have all been in the heat of the moment at some point in your lives. I'm just saying all the clothes didn't come off. So that's where I went.
You have but time obviously, to, like, move it through the hole.
Anyways, I guess it was just a matter of, I don't know, efficiency? Like, what's more comfortable? What do you prefer? Kind of like the whole boxers and briefs.
I don't know. Chat, let us know what you think the second layer of this conversation was. I was trying to follow it. It was a lot.
I actually wanted to answer your question about who I thought was robbed. Bringing it back to not talking about dicks.
I think
Lottie was the most robbed out of anyone this entire episode, because the entire time she's with Earn, what is she doing? She's got her headphones on. She's on the phone. She's spending no actual time with her dad.
I didn't notice that.
She's like, even like in the car when he's alone with her, she still has her headphones on with the phone. Like, he's so busy trying to provide and make this life that the moments that he has with her aren't cherished. They aren't like, he's not doing really anything with them. He's just kind of like constantly on the go, constantly trying to. And then on top of that, she's this smart little girl, advanced. She's not going to a school that she needs, or like, you know, she's not getting intellectually fed. She doesn't even like the shade the teacher threw about the happy two parent home. Like, I'm sorry, a two parent home is
everything. I didn't have one.
Facts. Like, it's everything. There is a lot. There are statistics proven behind the success of children who have two-parent homes in comparison to those who grew up in single-parent homes. Like, this entire time, Lottie is there and ready and wanting to receive love from her dad. Instead, she's staring at
a screen,
screen with headphones. And it's just like, but you're robbing her of her of her relationship with you. Trying to do better for her. You're not taking hold of the moments that you have with her.
Totally. Is there anything else you guys want to mention about this episode?
Okay. All right. Yes. I agree 100%. And at the same time, it is, it's stressful. And there is a balance, but sometimes it's really hard to find that balance because, speaking as a dad, you do. You want to not only provide for your kid or kids, but you also want to make sure that you're giving them even more than what you had. You don't want to just say, well, I didn't have the whole Happy Meal, so I'm going to give you the Happy Meal. No, I want you to get the Happy Meal. I want you to get the large size with the extra fries, with the two toys. Like, you want that and then some. And I remember the first thing my dad told me when I told him, you know, I was, you know, having a little girl, he said, whatever you do, don't be so caught up in trying to provide that you miss out on those moments, which is exactly what you said. And I agree. So there are times that I fall back and I'm like, okay, you know what? I want to take this job, this job, this job, because then it'll yield this much more money, but I haven't really seen her all week. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been like 2 weeks and I haven't really, you know, just sat on the couch and watch cartoons and eat cereal. Simple stuff.
Yeah.
So it really is a balance. And I feel that as Earn grows more, and hopefully in the third season we'll see this, he'll get a better balance. And Van even points out the fact that he's going to be gone for 2 months.
Yeah. And Sean in the chat said, Al showed more attention to Lottie than Earn. And I agree. Even in the, like, 5 minutes that Al was chilling with Lottie, he's sitting there playing with her, talking to her. You see a reaction come out of her. Like, I just think about, like, my dad didn't have a lot. But, all like, when I think about my dad, I, like, think of all the moments and all the, like, he, like, will call me all the time and we'll just, like, chat. And those are my favorite things about my dad. Not, like, what he's giving me or not what he's, like, doing professionally. But, like, he's so, like, in tune and, like, invest in my life. And I think that's, like, what parenthood is about.
Well, then if
that's
you think
a sense
about
of
it,
providing.
There's that moment where he's putting her in the car and she's just touching his face and he has this connection with her. And he, like, has to turn around. You know, it looks like he may be shedding a tear. And I think that definitely resonates, but that he's having such a hard time. It's hard to face, I think, your children when you feel like you're failing. I don't have kids, but, you know, I have a lot of friends with kids and I have parents, and I just know that when you're not doing all that you want to be doing for them, providing for them the way that you want to, for some parents it's hard to address them and you just feel like you're wasting time. Like, I need to be going out there and getting, securing the bag for you so you can have a future. So yeah, this whole season has been really, really amazing. Obviously, we don't have predictions because we do not even know if we're getting a season 3 yet. I suspect that we will, but the FX has not confirmed it. We know that they did cancel his Deadpool animated show just a couple of weeks ago, so their relationship might be kind of rocky. I haven't heard any news just yet about cancellation or not cancellation. So instead of doing predictions, I wanted to talk to you guys just about all of season two as a whole. Starting with, did you guys have a favorite episode for this season? Just to remind you what we had. We had Alligator Man, Sportin' Waves, which was the barbershop episode. Moneybag's shoddy while Ernest's out trying to spend money, but it's not really working. Helen, which is where they go outside of the city to the German village to celebrate Vans culture. Nope, I got it wrong. Sportin' Waves is when they are trying to...
It's when Tracy's so, trying to get a job and he has the do-rag on.
Yes. Shoes. Barbershop is the actual barbershop episode. Teddy Perkins needs no introductions. Champagne Poppy, where they went to Drake's place. Woods, where Al is out in the woods and dealing with his... Is that the one where he's dealing with his mother? North of the Border, where they go to the college party. FUBU is the flashback episode with the kids. And then this finale was Crabs in a Barrel. So, favorite episodes.
Okay, Barbershop and, damn it, Sportin' Waves. Those those were my first, those were like my top two, then Alligator Man.
We just wanted your favorite.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, I can't just do just one.
I know, there's so many, but
the
favorite.
Whole season.
But
I love any episode that causes a hardcore conversation in real life, and I think Champagne Poppy, the conversation about, like, interracial dating, it's, like, I've seen so many think pieces on it and whatnot, like, to this point right now, even bringing in Donald Glover's own relationship, it's really, I feel like, made everyone have to, like, even whether I agreed with Donald Glover's take on it or not, I feel like there's been a lot of conversation with that, so I think that's my favorite because
a lot of black women wrote him off after that episode, which I find really interesting. I didn't feel the same way just because I know people who do have a problem with interracial dating on all sides, from all aspects, for all different kinds of reasons.
I think it was because Donald Glover has said some out of pocket.
But
if you were a Childish Gambino fan, you've been new this. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this new. Is not new. So,
and on top of all of that, I feel like he's certainly grown as an artist and as a person, and we haven't heard that kind of foul talk from him for maybe 3 to 5 years. And so I want to give him the benefit of the doubt in saying that he has grown. You better put some black women in this show next season, like some dark skin deliciousness doing other things. I mean, we had the teacher here, but like
and
young women, like doing things.
But she was kind of weird.
She was a gold digger.
On some other
but
stuff.
And recently he has been put, like, I mean, this show does bring up such good, important discussions that someone else just wouldn't have the ability to present it like this. So I do give him that props, but he does need to continue to grow.
Definitely. Do you have a favorite episode this season?
Alligator Man.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And this was a close second, just because it was a great finale.
Yeah, it was a good finale.
I think it's a tie from between FUBU and Teddy Perkins. FUBU, the idea of, like, going back in time and getting to explore the basis of their relationship and understand what parts of them are inherent and which have been built as walls for the kinds of bullshit they've had to deal with throughout their lives was really interesting. And then Teddy Perkins, like, if Donald Glover doesn't get nominated for an Emmy for that performance, I will throw things. Like, it was so freaking creepy, but also so, like, a provocative way. Like, black pain as it pertains to art is incredibly interesting to me, and especially because we always just kind of assume, like, if you're going to be an artist as a black person, you need to have lived a life of deep pain. Like, your whole life must have been an absolute struggle for you to produce anything of beauty, and I think that's such a falsehood and such a lie, and we've destroyed so many lives with that line. That's interesting and exciting to see somebody who's currently living a lifestyle where people expect you to kind of write about your pain and live in it. To talk about it and talk about what kind of bullshit it is. Did you guys have a favorite side character this season? Whether it was Alligator Man, whether it's Teddy Perkins, whether it was the barber, whether it was any of the Instagram hosts we saw. There were so many.
Clark County was my favorite.
Once
people were like, that's Chance and that's so-and-so and stuff, like, now, like, re-watching the episodes and seeing the little things and even, like, some of the shit that Chance has been up to in real life, I'm like,
oh.
And so I just love how extra Donald Glover is, that he, like, is friends with him but also shaded him in the same, like, breath. I just love it.
For me, it would be hands down Bibby.
Bibby, that was a barber, right?
God, yes, that was a barber. He was hilarious.
Bibby, like, was too, like, straight out of real life.
For me. Sure. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. And that's why I gotta give it up to Bibby. I mean, I have other favorites, obviously, Tracy and, you know, Flames, but yeah, so.
Alligator Man and in the space. I don't know how to describe it. Florida man.
Florida man, all over,
like, encompassing character.
Totally. Alligator Man is my favorite, too, just because we got a performance out. Oh, Cat Williams. Just see him come in, slide through, and be that great in a single episode. Funny. And also, to deal with military vets and elderly black community, like, all of that, I think, is vital. And again, stories that we don't typically hear. And then the alligator showed it out of the house, and I said, this is just the best thing
yes.
ever. Biggest surprise of the season?
Teddy Perkins.
The whole season.
Mm.
How it was just way more dramedy in real life than comedy. Mm-hmm. I was not ready for that.
I wasn't ready for Teddy Perkins. Woods was really good as well. But Teddy Perkins for me was the one that I really wasn't ready for. I thought this was going to be more like this happened last week and this happened this week and this happened next week. And in terms of it being more linear, and it wasn't, but it's okay because I was already accustomed to that from season one, so it didn't bother me with season two.
Sorry, I just had like a revelation, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Spill it.
But the biggest surprise, Teddy Perkins, that was the most uncomfortable of like 35 minutes of my life, and I will never get that back. But
do you want to get that though?
Yes, I do. But I think the biggest surprise was how a lot of shows, obviously, you have to pay attention to every little detail because it'll always come back. This show more than ever. Because now I'm thinking about the whole Lottie thing and me saying she was robbed. She was gone the entire season. And we, every episode, we're like, where's Lottie? Where's Lottie? It's Lottie's true. Not here. And it's just like the whole thing was Robin season. Lottie, wow. I'm shook right now. So you can just get me because I'm just thinking about it now.
Everyone was robbed. Every time you guys were saying that, I agreed with what your statements were, but at the end I drew the conclusion. The whole point is that everyone in everybody's walks of life is robbed. It's how you choose, like, what you're choosing to take ownership with, how you're choosing to live your life, and now Earned wants to take the front seat in it. But someone's going to get robbed. Moderation is everything.
Do you have a favorite surprise?
I don't know. I guess the alligator coming out.
The alligator was pretty shocking, especially when he came out to that jam. You were like, damn, yes, this is slick as hell.
Beautiful scene.
I forget what the frat boys danced to naked, but that was so shocking.
Oh, yeah.
Fun.
I thought Snap Your Fingers. Wasn't it yes, Snap Your Fingers?
Laffy Taffy.
It was Laffy Taffy.
Yeah, Laffy Taffy.
Taffy. Such a good song.
I forgot about
that. Lord, in front of two black men smoking weed and a Confederate flag. It felt like reparations, guys. Like, it didn't fill my pocket, but it filled my soul. Goodness, it was so damn good. Also, harking all the way back to the very first episode, that violent shootout in the fast food place.
Oh,
the girl, like, so just coming out of the car out of nowhere, and then people dropping the simulation theory on me. I was like, I don't even know.
Weren't they playing that same game in this episode?
They sure were. We harked back to the kids. Yeah. Again, doing the robbing, which is why I really thought that they were about to rob that place. I was like, y'all are going to lose everything. I bet when they come back, everything is gone.
No one was
to see. But that is about our time, guys. I'm so sad to be leaving you guys, but so grateful you were here. This was a really fun panel. Thank you all for being here. You were really, really great. Until next time, where can the folks find you?
All right, shout out to Trinity Boy. I just want to say what's up, man. Your support is flames. It's flames. Yes, shout out Trini Boy. You can find me on Twitter, Chaos J, K-A-A-O-S-J. You should already know Instagram, Chaos underscore Oceans 31, because I'm giving you 31 flavors of waviness, 24-7, 365.
I hated all of that. I am Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J. Don't bring Teddy Perkins over there.
Oh my god, you put on your headphones perfectly though. I'm Steph Sabra. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabra.
Shout out to Brian Tyree Henry, Donald Glover, and the entire cast of Atlanta. Y'all really did that this season. It was so, so good. I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique. Head over to Nerdist in the next week. We've got a documentary on Black Panther coming out. It's super awesome. A whole bunch of your faves are in it. And then if you're in Ontario, California, the week of the 19th and the 20th, I have four panels at the Comic-Con there. Woo! Two for Star Wars, one for Darkwing Duck, and one talking to Jason Aaron about his Eisner Award-winning comic book, Scout. Check it out. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This was so much fun. We'll see you guys next year.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.